Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm Dori Rosenberg, and I am going to be presenting this afternoon a study looking at physical activity and depression among people aging with disabilities. And I have some great collaborators on this study, some of whom are in the audience. Don Eadie's here, and thank you for being here. And I have no disclosures to make for this. And I do have funding, which I will mention at the end. I didn't put it in the right place. So just a little bit of background. So physical activity has been shown generally to be really good for physical health and cognitive health and also mental health. In the general population, there are relationships between physical activity and depression. So people who are more active tend to be less depressed. And in addition, physical activity has been used as a treatment for depression with some success. And it's a really promising treatment because it's a non-medical approach. It has all these physical health benefits. So it's something that has had a lot of interest in being used in different populations. There's not a lot of data on how physical activity and depression are related among people with disabilities. There's some evidence, some studies in people with multiple sclerosis. So there's a couple of studies by Sue et al. That showed that depression is lowered in people who are physically active, although relationships tend to be pretty small, and the studies that were done had pretty small sample sizes. And there's also some evidence in people with spinal cord injury that physical activity and depression are related. But really, there hasn't been a lot of studies done with different types of disability groups, and people that are aging. And so the purpose of our study was to look at the relationship between physical activity and depression in a fairly large sample of people aging with four different conditions. So we had people with muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, post-polio syndrome, and spinal cord injury. So this data is from an ongoing longitudinal study serving people with these four conditions. People reside across the United States that are in this study. The data for this investigation that I'm presenting are from Wave 1, and most of the measures are done online. So the sample total is almost 1,900 individuals and about 1,500 that had both physical activity and depression data and that I analyzed in this study. The average age was about 56. Oh no, I have one of those tickles in my throat, so I'm sorry. We had more women than men, as is often the case. And we had about over half had completed a college degree or higher. It was a predominantly white sample, and almost 60% never married. So we measured physical activity with a self-reported questionnaire, the International Physical Activity Questionnaire, the short form. This is a really widely used measure, although it hasn't really been validated, as far as I know, in people with disabilities. And so the researchers that chose this measure adapted the questions to be more inclusive. So instead of just walking, it could be wheeling or using an assistive device. And people tell us kind of how many hours per day they spend doing moderate intensity activities, so things like, you know, biking or doing yard work, and more vigorous activities like fast biking or more vigorous housework. And then they also report how much time they spend walking or wheeling. And then with that data, we categorized people for this study as reporting no physical activity, doing low physical activity, which meant kind of more than none, but less than meeting the moderate or vigorous physical activity guideline. And so the guideline that we used for this study was based on the IPAC scoring, which is 5 days a week of 30 minutes of moderate activity or 20 minutes of vigorous activity 3 days a week. And then depression was measured with the PHQ-9, which is kind of a really widely used measure. It asks about a range of depressive symptoms, and people answer if they experience the symptom not at all or nearly every day, and then the items are summed. Scores of 5 indicate mild depression and 10 moderate. we used analysis of covariance to look at our outcomes. So the outcome variable was the depression score, and the IPAC category was the independent variable. And then we included some covariates that were demographic variables that were significantly related to the outcome of depression. And so for the total sample, we included disability type, and then we also included age and years of education were the other significant ones. So our participants had an average depression score of 6.4, so kind of in the mild range. About 45% reported symptoms that were consistent with no depression. About a third indicated symptoms at kind of a mild level, and about a quarter at the moderate or more severe level of depression. About 40% had moderate to severe mobility limitations. And then as far as the breakdown for physical activity categories, just over a quarter of the sample reported doing no physical activity. And then the low physical activity group was the largest group, which was over 40%. And then about a third reported engaging in kind of moderate or vigorous activity, meeting the physical activity guidelines. So this is the results that we had for the total sample, so everybody together. What we found is that there was a significant main effect, and where the differences were was between those doing either none or low physical activity had significantly higher depression scores than those engaging in moderate to vigorous physical activity by about 1 point on the PHQ-9. So not a huge difference, but significant one. When we looked then by condition, slightly different results emerged. So these are the results for muscular dystrophy. And what we found here is that the overall test was significant, and those doing no activity had significantly higher scores than those doing low or moderate or vigorous activity. And the difference between the none and the moderate vigorous group was a bit bigger here, about 2.5 to 3 points on the PHQ-9. For multiple sclerosis, the overall test was not significant. The pattern is kind of similar to the total sample, where as you go up in IPAC category, depression decreased, but this wasn't significant. And then for post-polio syndrome, we had a non-significant test, and you can see that depression scores were pretty flat across the three physical activity categories here. And then for spinal cord injury, the overall test was non-significant. It kind of trended towards significance, and the follow-up tests for the group doing low activity, they had slightly higher depression scores than those doing moderate to vigorous activity. But it's kind of more of a trend than a significant finding. So overall, kind of putting all of that together, we really found relationships in the total group. On the far left is the total group. And that kind of, when we looked at everybody together, there was this pattern that people who did moderate to vigorous activity had lower depression scores. But within each of the condition groups, that changed quite a bit. And so the most significant findings were among muscular dystrophy and also kind of a trend in spinal cord injury, but not so much for MS or post-polio syndrome. So we found kind of overall that there weren't, you know, huge relationships between depression and physical activity. There were some relationships, and kind of the strongest findings were among people with muscular dystrophy, which I thought was really interesting, and I went to look at literature in that group and really found not much that looked at depression and physical activity in people with muscular dystrophy. And I think when I was talking with my colleagues about these findings, you know, one of the things that kind of came up for us was that we're kind of siloing off physical activity and looking at its relationship to depression. But there's a lot of things that are really related to depression, and in particular, probably doing anything that's pleasurable or social, even if it's inactive, has mental health benefits. And so, you know, I don't know that we really would expect the relationships to be really strong, although at the same time, we're not saying that physical activity couldn't be used as a good treatment for depression, but it probably needs to be in conjunction with other things that are really important as well. So our study, some of the limitations are that you know, this was cross-sectional survey data. And I think because this study is part of a longitudinal study, it would be really nice to look over time at what happened to people who become more or less depressed and see if that seems to change with physical activity. We kind of can't rule out that there isn't a relationship there or that there is using this cross-sectional data. But it does give us some indication of what's going on. And then we also use self-reported measures, particularly for physical activity. The International Physical Activity Questionnaire has a tendency to kind of overestimate physical activity. And I think it would be really nice to be able to use some objective measures of physical activity, like pedometers and accelerometers and technology, essentially, to get a better sense of what's happening. One of the studies that found relationships between depression and physical activity in multiple sclerosis did use an objective assessment of physical activity. And so that might just be a more sensitive measure. And I think another tricky thing is we had this big group of people doing low physical activity. And that group is hard to know exactly what to do with. You know, some people in that group were pretty active and some were not so active, and they're probably doing different types of activities, some of which could be more beneficial to mental health than others. And so I think that category in particular is a tricky one to know what's going on. The strengths, I think, of this study are that we have a really large sample size of populations that haven't been studied much in relation to physical activity and depression. And so there's lots of work for more good research to be done. So just to kind of conclude, we, in this study, found few relationships between physical activity and depression with, you know, a lot of caveats there. And I think further studies maybe can look at not siloing off physical activity as much, and if we can kind of broaden our conceptualization of activity and see whether that's related, more related to mental health, that would be really helpful. And I'm not saying that physical activity isn't important, though, because I think it has so many physical health benefits that it would be a great adjunct, at least, to potential treatments. And then, so here's my funding and acknowledgement through the National Institute of Disability and Rehabilitation Research.